Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
This Entertainment Insider is sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
Survivor is celebrating its 25th anniversary, and host Jeff Probst has been there from the beginning. He still can't believe his luck.
That I ended up on a show where I get to play in the world of psychology while being a storyteller. I still can't believe I ended up on the one show that has all of the things I'm into.
A riddle brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? Progressive protects them both. It was an easy riddle. Learn more at progressive.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Justice Department continues stonewalling a federal judge demanding to know more about deportations under the president's invocation of the 1798 Alien Enemies Act. ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
In a written response to Judge James Boasberg, the Justice Department says the administration should not be required to answer his questions, such as how many more alleged gang members might be subject to removal under the Alien Enemies Act. The government calls that sensitive information, bearing on national security and foreign relations. The government's filing says if the judge does order the Justice Department to provide the information, he should only receive it privately in his chambers.
Pope Francis has now spent 33 days in the hospital. His condition remains stable with slight improvements. A French politician is suggesting the U.S. return the Statue of Liberty, a gift from France nearly 140 years ago. He claims Americans have chosen to switch to the side of tyrants, citing President Trump's shifts in foreign and domestic policy. This is ABC News. Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams scheduled to splash down off Florida's Gulf Coast today. ABC's Jim Ryan.
After 286 days in weightlessness, Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore are looking at extensive rehabilitation over the next several weeks as their 60-year-old bodies reacclimate to the pull of gravity. For her part, Williams will have 608 total days in space, second among Americans only to Peggy Whitson, who logged 675 days over her career.
The American Kennel Club out with the most popular dog breeds.
For 3 years in a row now, the French Bulldog sits atop the list of the most popular dog breeds in the country. The AKC's Brandy Munyon telling Good Morning America one reason why is that they're portable.
They're highly adaptable. They're good in small spaces. They are love bugs. They just want to be with you most of the time, and I think that's what really attracts people to them.
Number two dog on the list is a breed that's way more energetic than a Frenchie, the Labrador Retriever. And the third most popular dog in the country is the family favorite, the Golden Retriever. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Stephanie Off.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. The state Senate votes today on legislation overhauling K-12 educational testing. State Senator John Jagler says changes recently implemented by the Department of Public Instruction have led to questionable results.
That magically just happened, or did we have the books been cooked? And I think it's pretty clear what happened.
The bill, which passed in the Assembly last month, reverts testing standards to what they were in 2019-2020, aligns grades 3 through 8 with national standards, and restores high school testing standards to levels set in 2021-2022. UW-Madison is one of 45 universities under investigation by the U.S. Department of Education.
A Friday memo from the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights says UW-Madison is being investigated for its ties to a group called the PhD Project, a nonprofit that helps students from underrepresented groups obtain degrees in business. In the memo, U.S. Secretary of Education Linda McMahon says students must be assessed according to merit and accomplishment, not prejudged by the color of their skin. A spokesperson said Monday that the UW hasn't been formally notified of a complaint related to the PhD Project, but will cooperate with any investigation. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Elon Musk wants to close a Wisconsin branch of the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Musk's Department of Government Efficiency announced plans earlier this month to close federal offices across the country. That now includes the BIA office in Ashland. Fox 11 Green Bay reports the Ashland lease is set to be terminated at the end of August. The office employs 40 people working with Wisconsin's 11 federally recognized tribes on issues including real estate management and law enforcement support. Tribal leaders say the proposed closure creates more uncertainty for people seeking to communicate with BIA and could force them to travel farther to receive services. The Ashland office is one of 200 BIA locations nationwide slated for closure. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sunshine today, but still mild with highs in the mid-50s. Rain through the morning, switches to some sleet late morning, and then to all snow by the afternoon. Some thunder is possible, and the snow could be heavy at times, with winds whipping it and blowing it around, as a good 4 to 8 inches is likely, which is why Winter Storm Watch has been issued. Call BCI Bath and Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 45.
All right, well, maybe not the market day that we would have ordered for ourselves, but even without much movement, actually, grains and livestock have a tale to tell. We're going to get to all of that story. We'll open the books on AgriTalk. Live from your Ag Audio Info Library via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Ben Scholl, president of Osterbur. Directly following the news, Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, filling in for Chip on loan from AgMarket.net, please welcome Brian Split.
What is going on, everybody? This is Brian Split, and I am thankfully hosting for Chip. I always appreciate the opportunity to be here and to provide a guest that I enjoy speaking with offline that I think you as listeners will enjoy hearing from. And somebody that I try to bring somebody that you haven't heard before as well. So I think we've got that all accomplished today with Ben Scholl, again, president of Osterbur. But Davis, kind of a quiet market today. It's been rather low volume. I think this is one of the lower volume days for May corn since it's been top step after March. And may change their volume. Beans, not a whole lot going on, slightly lower trade there. So just a quiet market. And I don't want to make too much out of this because I think a lot of times the markets, as we get towards the end of the quarter and there's been a lot of activity early in the quarter, sometimes it just gets quiet and positions get squared a little bit. And we're waiting for some big news here in right at the end of the month with some stocks and acres.
Absolutely. And a day like today, I mean, of course, we just want to see the markets go straight up in parabolic fashion day after day after day. But Brian, as I understand it, and maybe you can set me straight, as I understand it, markets just don't do that. Is that fair?
That is fair. You know, a lot of times it's two steps forward, one step back. So, you know, we got to go down sometimes to go up. Right. And hopefully we're holding some support. I know May corn held the 200-day moving average yet again. And hopefully we can continue to do that until we get the big data drop.
Well, yeah, that one step back might just be the step that we need to really throw our shoulder into the rally. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just lay it down. Just get a running head start on it, right?
That's it. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting Ben Scholl, president of Osterber. Is that right? Osterber,
yes. Mm-hmm. Osterber, just like that.
Excellent. Well, we'll get to that, but first I've got some news we got to get through. Concerns over wheat crop conditions gave wheat futures an early leg up in today's trade. USDA rated the Kansas wheat crop as 48% good to excellent. That's actually down 4 points from the previous week. Ratings in Texas and Oklahoma were unchanged. World Weather Inc. notes another round of strong wind, blowing dust, and blizzard conditions will impact U.S. HRW wheat areas today into Wednesday. Today, wheat futures ended the session mostly mixed. July HRW wheat futures were 1¾ cents higher, 619.5. July SRW down 2.5 cents to 582.5. July spring wheat futures closed at 629.5, down 0.75 cents. Yesterday, wheat acted something as a rally leader, and then it gave it up. Seemed a pretty similar action today.
It did. You know what? The hard red wheat has been the leader of the three wheat varieties. We did make a new high for the move today, but up against some pretty strong resistance on the new crop July contract. And it just seems like, hey, we're in this range, 550 to 650. And when you get above 6.25, you're really at the upper end of the trading range. And we traded, 628¾ for high today. So we are at the upper level of this dollar trading range we've been in for, 6 to 8 months here.
Yeah. Well, corn futures softened in today's trade as technical resistance subdued buying. But support in wheat futures limited the downside for corn today. South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier maintained his Brazilian and Argentine corn production estimates, although dryness in south central Brazil continues to be a concern for southern Safrinha corn, despite having received some rain last week. May corn futures today were down 2.5 cents to 458.5. July corn softened 2¼ cents to 467¾. December corn futures closed at 454¼. That's actually up 0.25 cents, Brian.
Yeah, a little bit of bear spreading in the market today. The old crop was a little weak. You said May it was down 2¼, July down 2, D's up 0.25. So, one of the features that we had really during that bull run from fall all the way through and at that January report was old crop gaining on new crop. And we've seen that really pull back here over the last month and a half. And again, as we get towards the end of the quarter, that's another thing that's ripe for some continued profit taking.
Well, early support from soybean oil supported an attempt at the upside among soybean futures today. Ongoing trade disputes between China and the U.S. have driven up Chinese demand for Brazilian soybeans, raising export premiums at Brazilian ports. At the Port of Santos, April shipments now carry a 65-cent per bushel premium, rising to 75 cents for May. Technical resistance at key moving averages continue to limit the upside for soybeans. May beans fell 2¾ cents, 10.12¾. July beans down 2¾, 10.26½. Novi beans ended the day at 10.15½. That's down 3 cents. This is an interesting development here. 65-cent basis going on the export market there, Brian.
Yeah, and the beans, a flat price themselves seem to be waiting for something to give them direction. Below 990 on spot front month May beans, not a good look. Above 1030 would be a positive look. And we're just consolidating until we get the information piece that makes it break out of that, that trading range.
Yeah. Well, December cotton today was 33 points lower at 69.53. We'll hit the livestocks quickly, where April fat cattle were 35 cents higher at 205.37½. April feeders 35 cents higher, 284.55. And on the snout side, April lean hog futures down 47.5 cents to 87.60. Brian, looks like we've got Matt Bennett.
We do. We have Matt Bennett for the price action perspective. What's up, Matt? How are you, bud?
Fancy meeting you here. Not much.
Yeah, what do you think of the markets today? I know we had a meeting yesterday afternoon that got us internally excited. Not much going on in the market, but what do you have to say?
Boring. Man, I was having a hard time staying awake today, to be honest with you. Market just didn't want to do anything. But yeah, yesterday we had that Eric Snodgrass was on. He comes on with us pretty regularly and talks about just weather trends. And, if a person listened to that particular segment, I think they would want to cover some of their sales for this summer, potentially. I mean, we know it's early in the year. but there's a lot of things setting up in the environment that make you very concerned. You know, just from my vantage point sitting here in central Illinois, this is a very warm spring and a very dry spring. A lot of people have been running in the fields. This last weekend we had shade under an inch, and you can't even tell that it rained at this point. So there's a lot going on here. I think there could be some extremely volatile markets, but today sure wasn't one of them.
No, we had kind of touched on how we had pretty low volume, and it was across the board, whether it was corn, beans, wheat. Just doesn't seem to be a whole lot of excitement and involvement in the market right now. But, you know, timing is everything. You'd mentioned Eric's kind of preliminary outlook on what he's watching for the growing season. But we've got a lot of data to kind of deal with here coming up at the end of the month. We've got some internal expectations for acres. You mind sharing that?
Yeah, I mean, we're right now, the us guys came in at 95.39 on corn and 82.75 on soybeans, with the thoughts that that corn number could even come in a little bigger. But just based on the guys we talked to and the survey we did, we felt like that was a pretty good place to start here for March 31st report.
Yeah, and we're going to get that March 31st. It's on a Monday. But up next, stay with us, please. We'll have a conversation with Ben Scholl, president of Oster Burr, and he'll be up right after the break.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to FarmSafe811.com.
Sometimes. The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, providing land loans to help family farms thrive in any challenge. Terms and conditions apply. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. This is Brian Split. I am filling in for Chip Flory. And I've got a guest this afternoon. Hopefully we can cycle through some important pieces of the market for you today. But Ben Scholl, he is president of Oster Burr. Ben, welcome.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure. One of my goals when I guest host for Chip is to bring in somebody that I enjoy speaking with offline about the market, whose opinions I value. And if I can also introduce somebody to the show that hasn't been on before and share a new outlook, I try to do that too. And I think you fit that mold. So, Ben, if you don't mind, can you just briefly explain how it is that you participate in the market so that the listeners can understand, you know, the viewpoint you're coming from?
Yeah, so I run a company called Oster Burr & Associates, and we handle non-GMOs on the river for export. Most of them end up in Japan. So we're kind of a speck on the bigger grain trade that everybody else participates in. We operate mainly in Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, and Kentucky, just working with different producers to take care of different non-GMO varieties that are needed overseas in the export market.
Okay. And I know, you know, you're more of a specialty buyer, but you definitely still take a good look at the bigger picture and what's going on in flat price and spreads. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But is there anything of note or anything meaningful that's going on in the GMO market that you think's worth mentioning?
Yeah, I mean, everything's pretty status quo when you talk about like mixed non-GMO yellow. That tends to be a pretty saturated market. A lot of times under when farm margins get compressed like they have been this year, producers will kind of turn to the non-GMO to save on seed. Some of your base genetics continue to perform, so that's not unusual. We also do some waxy stuff that is also a little bit on the saturated end. I think one of the most interesting things going on in non-GMOs right now is white corn. If you just deal in GMO white, it's a very volatile market. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It could be worth a couple bucks over the board, or it could be worth a discount to yellow. We're seeing a shift to non-GMO, whether it's through the politics of Mexico or poor crops in Mexico or in South Africa or other competitors for the white corn export market. So we're seeing a lot of interest turn back to non-GMO white. Again, in the grand scheme, to most people out there, it doesn't mean a whole lot. But when you talk about maybe if you say a million acres of white corn or something like that, a 10% to a 30% shift in non-GMO, it matters a lot in the non-GMO space and in the white corn market in general. So we're seeing a lot more interest for our export in non-GMO white. And we kind of expect to see that for the next couple of years.
Okay. Now, as a participant in the market, even though you're on the specialty side, you still, when we speak, have some pretty strong opinions on how spreads may operate, what flat price might do. And so one of the things that, you know, we touched on a little bit offline was where we are and what is wrong with the cash versus the spreads. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, so I do pay attention. Everything we do is tied to the cash. There's just a premium attached. So we are participating in the same market as everybody out there on the river, futures basis and all that. I've had this question come up a lot with a few different people, and we're all trying to figure out, especially after the board backed off and we had this protracted dip, everybody kind of expected to see spreads respond. And they really haven't. And we're all kind of scratching our heads like, what's going on with this thing? You know, the May, July corn spread, it's out, there's 10 for a low the other day and settled 9.25 today. Why aren't those responding? And part of that, I think, is just our big book of business that we have on. We really need our logistics to run on point, and they're really not, whether you're talking about rail to the P&W or barge freight. We're just not running at the clip that we need to really keep that going. But I think moreover, and I would like your opinion on this, I'm not sure how much corn hit the market between October and March. You had the flush of old crop and then right into a rally that you got a producer that was engaged. I mean, I think we could have sold maybe a year's worth of crop in half a marketing year. And I think that just has a little bit of a tail on it, and I think that's kind of, we just got to kind of work through it till we see the spreads and basis respond.
Yeah, I think there was an awful lot of physical that was moved in that period of time, and you know, if the commercials as a whole have a good amount of ownership, I think it makes sense for the market to build some carry to pay them to store it. Often, when you see the spreads respond, if you will, like you had mentioned, and we see the spreads trade very strong, and that would be May gaining on July, where we're going from a carry to an inverse or something of that, as an example. I think that often happens when the export demand is very strong, but the product is still in the producer hands. So the spreads have to do some heavy lifting to get the producer to say, okay, there's not carry in the market. The market is not paying me to store. And so now maybe I need to reward the market and give it to them now instead of holding it in my bin. And so I think we've gotten a lot of physical movement, and a lot of that has already left the producer's hands. So I don't know that the spreads really need to, at the current point here in March, need to do the heavy lifting. That could change drastically between now and this time in April or early May. But for the time being, I think that's where we're at.
Yeah, and I'd say we need to see that happen to really have a protracted rally into the summer. We need to see some of this upfront demand, because we have a great book on, I think April and May are going to be massive for export. It's just, can we continue to sell it? And I think the KN is always a driver for what's going to happen in the summer a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's generally a great foreshadow of what to look out for during the summer. I agree with that. And, you know, there's probably an element to this that is South America, undoubtedly. And I think if you were to run into a little bit more of a concern about the safrina crop in Brazil, that maybe that's something that helps get these spreads to be a little bit more active and helps entice the U.S. producer to want to let go of some more physical bushels. So we'll see how that all kind of pans out. But and it's not only the spreads between May and July, you know, a consecutive month spread, but one of the other things that you and I talked about is old crop versus new crop, and how we've gone from July trading 40 cents over the D's to now, what are we at, 13 and three quarters. So old crop has lost a tremendous amount of its premium to the new crop. And I wonder if that's not going to see another kind of big shift again as we get into the stocks and the acres at the end of the month.
I think if we don't have any magnificent surprises on the stocks, I would really expect to see those things respond once we get into summer. I think there was a massive amount of spec money in the spreads, just like there was in the futures, and they were all leaning the same way. And I think we're still seeing a little bit of the washout. Every little bump we get is accompanied with a setback. And I think there was just a lot of speculative money in the spreads, especially new old. And I think once we get that cleared out, because I really do think we're going to clear the table here for the report. And I think this will be another big week of fun selling. And we're holding in there pretty well, and I'm pretty encouraged by it. But I think we're still working through a little bit of that. But there's some things on the chart, and I'm sure you've noticed this. I said something to you earlier today. If we could go back and test those lows from, I don't even know, the day where we made our low, March 4th, if we could go, we kind of are setting up a little inverted head and shoulders in the old new spreads that could really, if we could get back and start working our way back up through there, could be pretty interesting on the chart.
Yeah, I think it is pretty important for the overall health of the uptrend and spreads and in flat price to hold the lows that were made on March 4th. Those were significant lows across the board. The July D spread made a low that day. The flat price, whether it's May or July or December, made lows that day. And I would venture to say that it held there. I think it looks to me like a very technical place to hold. Looking at May corn, there's an uptrend from the August low, which is the contract low, to the October monthly lows. And that's basically, we hit that trend line on the low at the beginning of the month there and had a recovery. So it's been almost a 40 cent bounce off those lows that we've pulled back from. and we maybe just trade a little sideways here, but I think we're probably going to see an awful lot of volatility as we get into the next couple months. We're going to be processing a lot of quarterly stock data, the acreage data, and I think these acreage numbers are going to be rather important. And we'll touch on these as we get into the second segment. So we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll hear more from Ben Scholl, president of Osterber, and we'll be right back after we listen to these messages. Thank you.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. Where July HRW wheat futures were 1¾ cents higher at 619.5. July soft red winter wheat declined 2.5 cents to 582.5. May corn futures were down 2½ cents today at 458.5. December corn futures closed at 454¼. That's up 0.25 cents. May soybean futures were down 2¾ to 10.12¾. Novi beans ended the day at 10.15½. That's down 3 today. December cotton, 30 points lower, 69.56. On your livestock, April fat cattle were 35 cents higher, 205.37½. April feeders, 35 cents higher, 284.55. And April lean hog futures down 47½ cents to 87.60. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
The next disaster.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
We're local, we're friendly, and we're fast. You gotta love the hometown guys.
As a preferred customer of Adam Super Service of Durand, receive $30 off an oil change when you get 5 oil changes. Every oil change at Adam Super Service includes up to 5 quarts of oil, filter, lube, and the ASE certified technicians will do a complete safety check of your vehicle. Adam Super Service, your partner's network car care center, downtown Durand.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sunshine today, but still mild with highs in the mid-50s. Rain through the morning, switches to some sleet late morning, and then to all snow by the afternoon. Some thunder is possible, and the snow could be heavy at times, with winds whipping it and blowing it around, as a good 4 to 8 inches is likely, which is why Winter Storm Watch has been issued. Call BCI Bath and Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 45.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I am Brian Split. I am filling in for Chip And we are coming back to you with Ben Scholl, president of Oster Burr. And before we went into commercial break, we very lightly touched on what the conversation of acres. And so I want to lead with that. That's going to be really one of the big focuses as we get to the end of the month. That report is on a Monday, the last trading day of the month and of the quarter. And acres are going to be a very big topic, as our stocks. Those are two pieces of the balance sheet that can have a very large impact on the balance sheet very quickly. So you got any anecdotal things that you're looking at, Ben, that make you wonder or have a strong opinion on how acres may shake out?
I wouldn't say I have a strong opinion, but anecdotally, I've talked to some guys. We just went through contracting season for the upcoming year for specialty products. And I could say this, that your I-state kind of guys, people that can really yield way outside their APH that have that potential, are making a shift to a little more corn. They're not going wild with it, but I think there will be a significant amount more corn in those kind of areas. Some of the more marginal ground or the people that can't really top out really big yields, I don't think the shift's going to be quite as big or at all, just because of the underlying costs of what it takes to put out a corn crop with the nitrogen prices and the input prices. I just not sure they're willing to commit all the chips to the table for corn in that regard. So for those reasons, like my particular number that I'm just kind of working with is probably a lot lower than even what Matt said earlier. I'm thinking more around that mid 93s to 94. I kind of like your all's number that you were working with a little bit better, because that makes beans a whole lot more interesting to me than they would under a scenario like myself.
Yeah, that would be one of those things that I think would potentially spark some life into the bean market. You know, we need something. The market, I think, is at the very least, it's, I think, performed decently considering all of the talk about how big the South American crop is going to be. And, you know, we had that break in mid-December that was very short-lived. We kind of took out those August lows. It was a 2 or 3 day break. Then very quickly we recovered, got back over those August lows, and we've really been able to more or less hold that level ever since, despite going through and getting through the South American harvest on a rather timely fashion. We just haven't seen the weight of that market come into play yet. So I would love to see a low acreage number in beans to get some incitement in that market, because we need to. You know, my counter to maybe your thought on acres would be, yes, it is more expensive to grow corn, but it's also at current values a loss to grow soybeans. So if I'm going to borrow money at all, do I borrow more money to plant something that I think could be profitable, or do I borrow less money that's currently at a loss? And that's, you know, I think some of the conversations that are going on out there in the country on some of the acres, not all of them. Now, for you as a buyer, you also have to think about logistical challenges. And also there are things that you have to account for, you know, as far as policy that may impact price or your margins. And so one of the things that you and I had talked about was some of the logistical challenges. Maybe, you know, what does the river look like? Is that something that you're concerned about? If you are, how long? And I think we also talked about, you know, the taxation of Chinese vessels. So what do you know about those topics, Ben?
Yeah, so for the last couple of years, we've been fighting low water. It's been well documented, talked about quite a bit. Those kind of issues are actually being repaired right now. So I don't foresee low water being an issue maybe until the summer months, fall, if the rain really shuts off. Memphis, which has been a big problem for a few years, is getting back up to 22 feet, which is a much more normal, reasonable level, which is a huge help for our shipping out grain. We have plenty of other logistical issues that are keeping freight high, which the farmers might not know what freight values are, but they certainly see it in their basis on the river. We've had ice in January, fog, wind, snow in the Gulf that shut us down for 4 days, high water on the Ohio. So guys are really feeling it if their river market is their market, and they're seeing it in the upfront basis with a inverse and freight that hasn't died. So hopefully once beans slow down, farmers will start seeing some better corn values as we really pick those up. From a logistical standpoint, and then we have construction on locks, not like 2019 in the summer, that summer, but a little minor construction going on lock 27 with just creating delays. So guys can't get their barges. They're getting plugged on the Illinois. So those are things that we all look at if we operate on the river. I certainly do when I'm thinking about my timings. I'm a I sell everything SIF, so basically my role is to get product down to the Gulf where my buyers will bring in their vessel and they will load it onto their ship and take over to Japan. But one of the things, I was in Chicago a few weeks ago and they were talking about the tariff, or it's not a tariff, it's a tax on berthing vessels here, and the uncertainty with it because they're trying to price things years out, or other people might be selling corn delivered or into their ports maybe months out, and they're having a really tough time reconciling how do we price this. For those that don't know what it is, you know, it's a tax on any ship that comes to you to load out exports from the United States, upwards to $1 million to $1.5 million per vessel that comes in. What that means to us, for corn, that's 40, 50, 60 cents a bushel, which kind of in better times, more well supplied times, can render us out of the market and for different exports. So it's a big deal. It might be more than the tariffs, the biggest deal that we got on our plate right now as it relates to trade.
Ben, do you have any sense of how many vessels or what it looks like? Because this is, to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, specifically vessels that have the Chinese flag or were built in China. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I'm not an expert on it, but as I understand it, Mary Kennedy had a great article on it yesterday, and what I read in that was a third of the ships are from China currently, and upwards to 55% could be within the next few years. So if it's, I think the tax is actually dependent on whether or not it's Chinese made or it's got flown under the Chinese flag that will initiate that fee, I guess, for the lack of a better word. So, and that's the kind of thing that, you know, if your market is on the river, and it's going to be extremely important to you, and it affects everybody because futures tie to the river. So it will affect futures in the future if this becomes a thing, and the corn market from the global aspect is a little more well supplied. It'll put us in a hold for export competition.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in one respect, you know, our top buyer of U.S. corn has been Mexico, which obviously we're not going to be dealing with any vessel issues as far as a boat that was built in China or has the Chinese flag. But then you think about soybeans, and obviously with our primary market being China for export, that would be a huge topic there. So obviously that is something that's going to be very, very major impact on values, trickling all the way down to what the producer sees at their level. Now, one of the things that we're going to be getting besides the acreage conversation here at the end of the month is also on the stocks. The disappearance in the first quarter, do you think disappearance is running similar to that pace, or do you have any opinion on the stocks number?
I would say that it is, but the one thing that, and we hit on this earlier, the spreads just have my antenna up that we might be in for a surprise. I don't expect it, but that will be the thing that we look back and go, oh, there it was. But I expect, you know, at least on the export side, you know, we're moving right along. I do worry a little bit about domestic demand, both ethanol margins and crush margins on beans. That maybe we're not grinding through it at the pace that we think. They're pretty steady numbers that they give us every month, but it does feel like it's slowing down on the domestic side a little bit.
Yeah, and it seems like, to your point, there was stuff that we didn't know in fall, and that stuff that we didn't know was that the yield was a lot lower than we thought. And there wasn't a lot to tell us that, but then looking back, you'd say, oh, well, the spreads were trading very firm, and that was our indicator. So now vice versa, your implication is that these spreads are telling us maybe something different than what they were telling us in fall. Is that right? Just so the listeners can be clear on what you're saying.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not expecting it. Like I gave the reasons why I think the spreads are doing what they're doing earlier. But if I'm wrong in that aspect, it's that demand is slowing down domestically, or maybe, and I hate to say this, but maybe we overcorrected on how much we brought yield down, is another way to look at it. That'd be another possibility.
Yeah. And then, you know, I think it's important for listeners to, again, remember what it is that's in this report. They are not going to give us a balance sheet. They are going to give us a quarterly stock number and the planting intentions number. The April WASDE report is going to be the next report that shows an old crop balance sheet. The May WASDE report is the first report that shows us a new crop balance sheet with the planting intentions, acreage numbers, and then a set of demand using a trend line yield. So that's what's upcoming in the next several reports from USDA. But Ben, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your insight. And we're going to come right back.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-883-3024. 800-883-3024. 800-883-3024. That's 800-883-3024.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $40 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $18 a month, a savings of nearly $300 a year.
Whether you need a $100,000 policy or a $10 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. In a hurry? Don't worry. With SelectQuote, you can get up to $2 million in instant, affordable, same-day coverage with no medical exam.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-637-9116. That's 1-800-637-9116. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-637-9116.
Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
To choose from for their land financing. Thousands have already chosen to partner with FBN Finance. Here with us right now, Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial, to talk about how FBN Finance can help you with your land financing. Dan, there might be some listeners who are not aware of the benefits of partnering with your team. Share with us why so many farmers have chosen to finance through FBN Finance.
Yes. Well, we've already provided more than $2 billion in financing to about 3,000 farmers, and we've built our business to focus on family farmers. So our goal is to help their operation thrive. With FBN Finance, you can expect great rates and easy digital application and instant approvals, all of which save your valuable time.
Okay. Explain more about those instant approvals.
Well, an instant approval is, you know, what it sounds like. It's just getting a decision on your application as soon as you hit submit, and that saves your valuable time. We understand the financial challenges that a lot of growers are going through with today's unpredictable economy. And we know how important it is to save time so you can focus on your operation. With that in mind, we also offer pre-qualifications for our land loans. So if you are thinking about buying land in the future, but you don't have a specific parcel yet, or you're not ready to close yet, getting pre-qualified allows you to be confident and prepared when the opportunity arises. And those are valid for up to 180 days, and they don't impact your score.
Fantastic. Okay, is there anything else that farmers should know about FBN finance?
We also provide savings, and our rates are on average 12% lower than most other ag lenders based off of our analysis of lending terms to farmers. And right now, we want to provide additional savings for AgriTalk listeners on their closing custody. When you fill out a form or speak with a loan advisor or call us directly and mention AgriTalk, you can save up to $500 on your closing costs for your land loan over $250,000.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Dan. That is Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The truth is hard to come by these days unless you listen to AgriTalk.
And hey, guess what? You're listening to AgriTalk right now. Pretty sure. Well, I guess even in the future if you're listening to it later. If you're listening right now, though, it's live. I'm your pal, Davis Michelson. We had Brian Split from agmarket.net as our commander-in-chief for the show. Terrific conversation with Ben Scholl from Osterbur. Brian, thanks for introducing us to Ben Scholl. He's a smart guy.
He's one of those guys. I just like watching what he says on Twitter, because he just makes a lot of good points, and he'll just throw it out there, and he's not afraid to say what he thinks. And I think he's just got a really smart, view of the market. And, I always enjoy what he has to say. And it may not be useful for everybody, but I think it's also important to kind of bring on some of the individuals that are on the buy side of the market and understand some of the challenges that they deal with when they're buying your grain and when they're sending it places and what are they watching. So it's just a different aspect. But it's been a boring day overall, except for hosting the show. So I'm glad I got to finish my day doing this, because otherwise, oh man, what a waste of a day.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, okay, let's do this. I shouldn't do this. I'm going to indulge myself just a little bit, because I want to pick your military brain.
Do it.
Just a little bit. We're dropping bombs on Houthi targets. That's bound to tick off Iran at some point, I would imagine. There's feathers are ruffled over the Panama Canal. It all kind of goes back to shipping, because who the heck wants to go clear around the Cape of Africa, clear around the Cape of South America to get from point A to point B? I just wonder if you can talk about any of this, buddy, what you might have to say.
Well, right. So from the bottom line aspect of it, when you've got stuff like that happening, what happens, right? When you've got conflict, it makes shipping stuff more expensive. And so that is a concern. Freight costs increase. It requires more per vessel. It can require more to insure the vessel when stuff like that is going on.
And it's not just a little bit more extra either, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah. I really, having been in a war myself, I don't like the idea of escalation of war in general. It's not a good thing. I think the administration, one of the tenets that they've run on has been the idea of, increasing the amount of conflicts around the world, having new conflicts develop under their watch. So hopefully this stuff can get snuffed out pretty quick. Again, it may not necessarily be up to us, on how this stuff is resolved. But I think it's just one of those things where when you look at the escalation of conflict out there, it will have an impact and can have an impact on, it trickles all the way down to the producer level on how that can impact your values. I think we did a really good job in the first administration, Trump's first administration, of keeping conflict to a minimum. And hopefully we can do that in the second administration. But sometimes stuff goes on around the world where the U.S. is needed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we would like to be able to throw a switch sometimes, and there really is no such switch to just throw and everything is fine, is there?
No, I mean, we've thrown some switches before, or maybe dropped some switches, I guess, if the switch is a bomb, right?
Yeah.
We weren't afraid to flip that switch, twice in World War II. I don't want to flip that switch again. But you're right. I mean, there's not like something, a magic word you could say to make everybody happy. And, you know, the tough thing with this particular conflict that you are asking about is this has been going on for a really, really long time. And we're talking generational where, yes, you know, imagine if you were a kid growing up and your dad and your uncle and whoever else were killed by a certain.
Mm-hmm. By Western forces, perhaps by a certain president and his forces, that would tend to make a mark being raised in that environment. I'm not sure what happened. I think we may have lost Brian, either that or we lost me. Either way, let's go to this story here, where President Trump's push to curb opioid smuggling at the U.S.-Mexico border has led to more seizures of eggs than fentanyl since October. U.S. Customs and Border Protection has intercepted, get this, 3,768 poultry-related products. That compares to just 352 fentanyl seizures. This as egg prices soar here in the United States. And I'm sure that I don't need to tell you that if you've been to the grocery store and checked out the price of eggs. With that, maybe we should check over, look on the fertilizer side of prices here. I've got Iowa fresh data here. Well, fresh data from last week. We'll get some fresh data. Let's see, on Friday, looks like, here, if I'm doing my math right, not a whole lot of change on the fertilizers there. We've got anhydrous ammonia in Iowa up 50 cents. Here's 32% liquid nitrogen up $1.40 to $373.80. By the way, that average anhydrous price in Iowa is at $742.50. MAP fell, actually, $2.40 to $8.07 in the state of Iowa. Red potash down $1.50 and urea down $2.50 in Iowa there. And let's just look over at Illinois real quick. Yeah, up $1.25 on average in the state of Illinois at $7.59.50. We're up $1.67 on DAP in Illinois. Geez, at an already high $7.36.89, and there's potash in Illinois up $1.25. So fertilizer prices, it does seem like maybe we could see some leveling off here, although I mean we're coming into peak demand season, as you well know, and with that, prices are bound to respond. However, a lot of corn, again, as we've said before, put down in the post-harvest window there, and so it could be nitrogen prices don't have that much more room to run, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Phosphates still have our attention. Do we have Brian Split still? I'd love for him to take us home. I'm saying that's a totally negatory from Houston. Thank you to Brian Split from AgMarket.net. A terrific conversation with Ben Scholl from Osterbur and also Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. Tomorrow morning, we've got Alan Hoskins from American Farm Mortgage talking land and banking on AgriTalk.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time and switch to the expensive shampoo with amino acids. Sure, you don't know what those are or why you need them, but it sounds very impressive. And if you switch and save hundreds, you can massage it into your scalp every day. Now, if only you can get people to lean toward your head to smell those aminos. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For shampoo. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Are you concerned about age-related macular degeneration, or AMD? If you're over 50, then you should be. AMD impacts as many as 1 in 10 Americans over 50. Now, protecting your eyes is easier, thanks to New Nordic's Blueberry Eye Supplements. New Nordic's Blueberry Eye Supplements not only protect your eyes, but help improve night vision, as well as helping to relieve eye fatigue caused by digital devices. Enjoy healthy vision with New Nordic's Blueberry Eye Supplements. Available now at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. It looks like a return to full-out war for Israel and Gaza.